Like, if you give me, like, 3 seconds, I'll go downstairs and get a maraca if we actually want to follow through with this joke.
No, we're fine. We're okay.
That's what I thought.
We don't need a fucking drum line.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I'm also sure you could provide one.
Can he provide a drum line by himself, though?
I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if I try, if there's anyone I think could get a drum line together, but not a drum line, sorry. I'm in a drum circle.
Yes. Together. I was going to say drum line, I think yeah, you know I got mean? Ian beat.
Yeah, oh, I think definitely. You got Ian beat on that one. Drum circle, Ian's got you covered,
got
though.
Ian beat about a drum line.
That's so clever, you piece of shit.
Hi, and welcome to Brought to the Table, a podcast where we talk about things that are mildly interesting to some people. Today, we got the boys. They're all back in town. It's me, Scott, hosting for you, Carter, and the other dude with the beard.
Wait, who's that? Oh, shit. Okay, yeah.
No, you're the normal dude with the beard. We got another guy.
Yeah, you're fired. Names. We forgot to tell you.
Yes, all right. Yeah. All right, bye, guys.
We brought in Jimothy. Jimothy. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Wait, you replaced me with Jimothy? I thought you were going to replace me with Lenjamin.
Oh, well, he's on standby.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
All right, this joke has fallen flat. Anyways, what are we talking about today, Scott?
Today we're talking about Battle Royale games, which are taking the world by storm. And by the world, I mean all of those people who stay at home and play video games, which is quite a bit.
It's taken a lot. Yeah, I mean, they've gotten a lot of popularity recently. Yeah. So, for those of you unfamiliar, Battle Royale games are a specific genre of video game, although I have seen them implemented in, like, board game places, which is wild. But they're a specific type of video game. Generally, it is a first-person shooter or a third-person shooter. There are exceptions to this rule. And the structure behind it is that everybody is, there's like a group of 100 people, normally 100 people, can be less, can be more, dropped into one giant zone. With nothing, no guns, no ammo, just your fists and a will to survive sometimes. All you have to do is be the last person standing. That's it. You pick up guns or weapons or whatever from around the map to try to survive. And if you are the last person standing, you win. There's generally some sort of like constricting zone to like force you to play against other people instead of just running and hiding the whole match. But yeah, there's also generally like team options or you can play by yourself. But that's like the general structure of it. I mean, if you can't really picture it, just imagine the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Like that's it.
I feel like that's one of the things that really picked up with this genre. Cause like, I don't really remember that many like Battle Royale games before the Hunger Games came out. I'm sure there were some.
I always describe it to my non-video game friends as the Hunger Games, but Call of Duty. And then they're like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's dead on the money what it is. I think it's really interesting because the like history of Battle Royale games is very recent. I mean, if you're at all familiar with the genre, you'll be like, oh yeah, PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. That is like the original Battle Royale game. But it is and it isn't, kind of, because before that, PlayerUnknown, Brendan Green, he worked on Arma 3 mods.
Now known as PlayerUnknown.
Yeah, PlayerUnknown. We know who he is now. But he worked on Arma 3 mods, and he implemented what was, like, the original version of Battle Royale, at least, you know, in terms of popularity as, like, the first one for video games, which he then transitioned into PUBG. So, like, it's a very recent thing. PUBG came out in 2017 in its, like, alpha release.
Damn.
And it's still there today.
Yes. Some say it has gone back from alpha.
Speaking about PUBG, you guys want to get into like some examples of Battle Royale games?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about PUBG some more, though. We described it as... It was kind of the first popular Battle Royale game, although I don't know how to describe it. It was very popular. It's kind of art style is very Call of Duty-like, you know, semi-realism. The guns are, you know, military-looking and stuff like that. It had huge performance issues, which is in our notes and is not surprising. It was hard to run even on, you know, good computers or reasonably good computers. Stuttering issues, network lag, disconnects, bugs abound, like trying to go through doors, they stop. Trying to pick up items sometimes didn't happen. You would fall through the map, which happened to me more than once. Things would just randomly explode.
So, like, actual war.
Yeah, you know. The time between engagements was long, so you could feasibly drop off of your big dropship. We haven't really gone over the examples of how these games start, but a lot of the common shooting battle royale games, you start on a plane or a party bus, and you drop out of the sky, so you have a kind of a choice of a big map to land on. One of the traits of most common battle royale games is the map is really big, as opposed to like a regular Call of Duty map where you can feasibly run around it in a minute. The battle royale maps take multiple minutes to run across.
It takes quite a long time to run across. Yeah. I mean, you can, depending on the game, you can spend most of your game just trying to run from one place to another.
At least definitely in the beginning, before it like does the whole, hey, let's only put you in this area.
So PUBG's got one of the largest maps out of any battle royale game that I've played so far, which is somewhat to an advantage that if you don't want to drop in a place where you're going to be engaged right away, you can. You get penalized because some of the good places have, you know, more weapons you can pick up or higher chance for better weapons. And you're eventually going to be forced into these big engagements when the Carter called it a zone. It's basically just a constricting circle that if you're outside of it, it does damage. So it slowly pushes people to the end towards some central point. And that point is randomized. So it's never the same location for any game. So you can spend a while looting and you might take one or two engagements and you will just lose. I mean, statistically, half the people are out on their first engagement. So
that's, I mean, first numbers.
Deathly engagement, I guess.
It's a very interesting structure to a game, I think. And PUBG, just because we're talking about it, I'm going to use it as sort of the model. Because the whole idea is that you drop in, you find some sort of weapons, you run into somebody, or maybe you seek them out. You engage with them and you either win that fight or you don't, or someone runs away, you know, someone dies, whatever the outcome of that gunfight is. And then you kind of rinse and repeat until the game is over. Either you lose or you, well,
win.
And I think that's very interesting. And as we keep talking about these games, I'll point out differences between them. Scott said earlier, PUBG, it has one of the larger maps in any of these battle royale games. And it, more than anything, like has fewer things between points of interest, including like sometimes fewer points of cover, fewer places to like restock on like ammo or something.
So it sounds like it really kind of forces you to like, all right, you're in this one area. You want to get everything you can here before you go to the next one, because if you encounter somebody along the way, you got nothing there other than what you brought with you.
It really separates the like, here are good places to loot. Here's wide open battle territory, and people take long ranged fights a lot.
Okay. Yeah. I have never played PUBG, so I actually do not know about anything other than it's got vehicles and there's frying pans.
Frying pans. The thing that I think is critical about PUBG is that moving from one place to another is a commitment. If you start moving, you have a very low chance of moving back to where you came from, because you're going to be so far out in the open that you just kind of have to keep going. There's no real option. You have to either have to like clutch it out and make the shot, or you have to run as fast as you can.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no like run across an open field and duck to cover. If somebody's shooting at you, you're probably going to die doing that. There's like literally just open farm fields all over that map. Sometimes you get lucky with some hills.
Yeah, PUBG is one of the games, one of the few, actually, I guess most Battle Royale games, at least that we have on our list here, have vehicles, but PUBG, like, they're super necessary, because if you are too far away from where, like, the circle is constricting you to, and you don't have a vehicle, you just die. You just, like, you can't make it. So vehicles are, like, a valuable resource in this game.
Yeah, so I want to try and get a picture in your head if you've never played PUBG. You start, the plane flies some path across the map, like a straight line, starts at a random location, goes to a random other side of the map, and you can drop at any point, which sometimes means you drop towards the center, sometimes you drop in corners of the map, and then it will randomly start selecting zones that are increasing or decreasing in radius. So if you drop in the top right corner of the map and it starts picking, I'm going to start this, you know, zone of constriction to move people towards the bottom left, sometimes you can just be stuck running for minutes at a time, or even just like stuck running until you get shot at. And I like to describe it sometimes as a running simulator, because you pick up a gun, realize you got to run, and that's it.
Yeah. One of the things I like about PUBG, though, is that like they've leaned away from this as the game has developed, but at least when the game was a little young, it was a very goofy experience. Like I don't know how to describe it. Guns, you know, like they were powerful, and you know, you could do the whole gun thing, but like one of the things that we used to do was like just do backflips and motorcycles because like we had the space to do it because the map is so big and so people are so spread out that you can do that and not feel like you're definitely going to get shot. Only kind of likely going to get shot.
Yeah. And the vehicles were such a like critical part of the game because they were fast enough to run away from any engagement. And it's really hard to shoot people if you're already in a vehicle. So basically, you either got a vehicle to get to the location you were going, or you had to run really far and really slow and really exposed. And the vehicles are kind of fun because the physics of them were insane and you do jumps off mountains and stuff. But neither here nor there.
Yeah, I think that we should probably move on to some of these other games. We've talked about PUBG for a while, but I think we've done a good job of nailing down what a battle royale game is, the whole, you know, last person standing thing. Oh, which by the way, the reason it's called Battle Royale is because before The Hunger Games, there was a very similarly styled movie called Battle Royale that came out in Japan in the year 2000, directed by Kenji Fukuda. Oh, all right. I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna try hard, guys. Kenji,
you are a try hard, but
Fukasaku.
Okay.
Kenji Fukasaku. I tried my damnedest, y'all. But yeah, I mean, it even like some of the skins in PUBG are direct references to this movie.
So I think I've not actually seen that, but I'm pretty sure that was based off of one of the mangas. Like, there's a manga that was Battle Royale High School.
That sounds right. I mean, the movie was about high schoolers being sent to a deserted island.
And, you know, shooting each other until the last man standing.
Yeah.
But I might be thinking of something else. I think I might be wrong.
Not here nor there, but I just wanted to bring that up. I thought it was interesting. Let's move on to, I think, the polar opposite of the spectrum, Fortnite.
Yeah. We've all played Fortnite, I think. Ian, have you played Fortnite?
Like four games?
We've all played a tiny bit of Fortnite, so if you're a Fortnite MVP, play every day. You're going to correct us here, but
and
it used to not be a Battle Royale game, actually. It was kind of a building-style, tower defense game?
Yeah, it was like a third-person shooter version of a tower defense game. It still actually exists in Fortnite called the Save the World mode.
Yeah, it was a PvE game, though, critically, right?
Yeah, it was a PvE game. Yeah, player versus enemy.
Player versus environment, maybe.
Environment, fuck.
Player is always versus your enemies. Like, that's how games work.
They basically had a cool shooting and building engine, and they were like, wow, PUBG's making a lot of money. Let's do that. So they pivoted to a Battle Royale game in which you can shoot people and also build things.
Yeah. If you play video games, you know what Fortnite is, or at least you've seen it. It's got a very, like, cartoonish style to it. The construction is a very important element of the game, as opposed to PUBG, which gives you the option of first person and third person. It is locked to third person. One of the things about it that I actually don't like, and part of the reason I don't play it, is that moving from place to place, unlike PUBG, is not a commitment. You know, if you get shot at, you just build a house. Like, that's it. You just build a house, and you're like, can't shoot me now. I'm in a house.
Like, I think that's their kind of trade-off, though, because, like, Fortnite doesn't have any vehicles to help you get across large area. Just a shopping cart, though, right?
Or do they finally add shopping cart, golf cart, four-wheeler, and a new, like, grappling hook ball thing.
Wow, this tells you how long it's been since I've actually played Fortnite.
For some reason, I read Fortnite patch notes. I couldn't tell you why.
What is wrong with you?
They're interesting.
Why are you like this?
But anyways, Fortnite is a very interesting game to me because it doesn't care so much about being a competitive video game, you know, like a competitive video game experience. It's much more focused on just providing an enjoyable playtime. For example, like they introduce these really weird modes, like they'll just do 50v50. You know, there's a wall between you. You build these massive structures to like go at each other, and then you all shoot at each other 50v50. Or they'll do like this weird casino heist themed thing. Yeah, all rockets. They do all sorts of weird stuff. And their patch strategy very much so mimics that.
Well, it's like whenever they had Avengers Infinity War came out, they had a game type that was just like everybody versus one individual. So like you had like 99 or you had a huge amount of players versus one individual who was playing as Thanos. And then whoever killed him ended up picking up the gauntlet and became the next Thanos.
Yeah, exactly. That's precisely what I mean. It's their patch strategy is very much so, let's try this, and if it doesn't work, who cares? They just undo it. Like that is their patch strategy, which I think is a very interesting tact to take because it means that like there really, at least as far as I'm concerned, there really shouldn't be an esports scene for it, you know? Which is something I'll kind of touch on later. But yeah, they also, I think, just provide a really interesting environment to hang out in, which is something I think is critical in Battle Royale games. Like, they do these, like, living world events like, if you're not in the game, like, actually in a match at the time that this happens, you know, like, 6 p.m. West Coast or whatever, then you miss it. You don't get to see it. It's like a rocket launch, or Marshmello did a concert in game one time, or the Thanos thing was like a week long, whatever. But that's like, that's what I mean by that. It's a very interesting place just to hang out, not necessarily to shoot.
But you're going to get shot at.
It's very community focused, very kind of fun, casual focused, right?
Yeah.
They, for sure. It's more friendly and approachable than PUBG, which is like, here you're actually dropped on an island. Here's some actual like military looking guns. Here's some military body armor. You know, go bananas, kill each other.
Yeah.
See, I feel like for Fortnite, a lot of the competitiveness and like, I feel like you're right with the game being built as like, hey, let's just do a casual thing. It's more of just like, have fun. I feel like a lot of the competitiveness comes more from what the player brings in themselves than the way that the game is built.
That's one of the really great things that we wanted to touch on about Battle Royale games, is that because you're usually such a small part of the server, like your enjoyment and strategy doesn't really influence other people. Like if you're playing a MOBA and you decide like, I'm going to try this new character I've never played before, I'm probably going to be bad. Your team's going to be like, I hate you, you're the worst. The other team's going to be like, let's go kill this guy 3,000 times so we can win. And like it hugely impacts the game. If you're like, oh, I'm going to try this new gun, I've never used it before, I'm probably going to die. Like, one person kills you and it's over. And it made probably a marginal impact on the full game.
Exactly. I mean, PUBG, Fortnite, all of these games are very good at letting you just do what you want. Even if you are trying hard, like, you can... We have a couple of things that we do when we play, like, Apex Legends, which is the new Battle Royale game. For example, we'll like if we're sitting and waiting for somebody to come hop on with us, and Scott and I are just playing by ourselves, we're like, all right, it's time to hot drop. And so we'll just drop in somebody that somewhere that is extremely populated with people and guns, and we just do a really quick round and we're done. Or or we'll drop somewhere super remote, and like both ways are viable ways to take the game. And it's just like you choose what you get to do. It's just very open-ended in terms of what you determine.
That can both either bring competitiveness because you can really refine the strategy and, you know, try and go for the win every time, or try and go for some metric, some stat every time, or you can play for fun. And it, unlike in like strict head-to-head kind of games, one team playing for fun and one team playing just to win doesn't really influence the other too much.
This isn't Overwatch.
Exactly. Yeah, like, I mean, that's an important part about this game, is that it isn't a head-to-head experience. You know, you can be taking an engagement and then like a third and a fourth squad will come up and be like, hey guys, what's going on? You guys shooting it? You mind we shoot
You guys two? Need some nades?
You need some nades? I know you'll have some nades. But that's like part of the core thing. And also I think what makes it very interesting that like Apex Legends and PUBG are trying to become esports games, because like how do you do that? You know, how do you determine
so much variance in every game? Like, where do you land? What spawn there? Where are you being pushed to? It could be that, like, you land on a place that is on top of a mountain, has cover, has every gun you would possibly need, and it forces everybody to you, and you just get to pick them off as they come in.
Or it could be the entire opposite.
Or you could be the people getting picked off. Like, I could see it being an interesting competitive experience, but you need such a large player base to make, like, you know, one match. Otherwise, it's not the same as a regular.
Otherwise,
like, Overwatch, the competitive game is 6v6, and what you play casually is 6v6. You need so many people to make, like, a PUBG, like, esport feasible. Mm-hmm. And you have to play so many rounds to, you know, get rid of the variance and where things drop and what you know, random events kind of happen.
Yeah. It's a very strange thing. I've seen some tournaments and things like that, but they're mostly just like, look at the cool people we got to come play Fortnite with us.
Yeah.
I feel like if you were going to do any sort of like esports league with a battle royale, you'd need to shrink it a lot more. and have like a wider selection.
It's really not the same experience. Like, why not just play competitive Counter-Strike?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, I don't know. It's just crazy.
And that's the thing. Like, it wouldn't, I don't think it would be like as good if you shrink it and everything like that, but I think that would be the only feasible way to do it as a Battle Royale.
For ants.
So I think we've kind of touched on some really interesting topics here with Fortnite and PUBG. Let's move on to everybody's favorite Battle Royale game, Call of Duty Blackout.
That game came and went so fast.
We don't need to talk about Call of Duty Blackout anymore. Call of Duty Blackout was decent. It was fine, but it wasn't good enough to unseat PUBG as being like the quote-unquote competitive one, and it wasn't, you know, there's no way that it was going to take on Fortnite. We have Apex Legends. So let's talk about Apex Legends.
I mean, I want to give a little description of Call of Duty first, because they did the Fortnite. It seemed like the Fortnite strategy were like, oh, we have a new Call of Duty game. Let's add Battle Royale to it. Mm-hmm. And like the mechanics were good. Like Call of Duty is usually at least like a B effort polished game compared to, you know, PUBG, which was like flunking out of the class and being polished. But like it lacked any interesting mechanics or anything that like actually drew me to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. I mean, Blackout was fine. It like, that's it. It was just fine. Nothing felt good. It felt like a very mediocre version of it. Nothing felt special.
I'll be honest, like, until I read through the show notes, I had no idea Blackout was even a thing.
Yeah, we had a buddy convince us to buy it. Fuck you,
Alex. I was like, you're not friends with this person anymore, are you?
Well, I am, unfortunately.
I mean, I got some enjoyment out of it.
I got a little bit, but I didn't get $60 worth of it.
Jesus. Overpriced for how much I played it. That'd be on me.
That's definitely on me. I shouldn't have listened to y'all. Let's move on to Apex Legends. Apex Legends is from Respawn Studios, who, if you're not familiar, developed the Titanfall games. And in fact, Apex Legends is within the Titanfall universe. Lore-wise, that gives you some idea, or like even mechanically, you know, you can tell how things feel a little bit, like what the gunplay is going to feel like and some of the guns are going to be. Apex Legends, very interesting game. It is not a 100-person lobby like it is in the other games, and it is not a variable-sized squad. It is a 60-person lobby with 3-person squads, meaning 20 squads total, which is significantly less than a lot of these other games.
Although you can also sometimes have it to where you're a single-person squad and double-person squad, just depending on if your other people don't connect all the way.
Yeah, like, there are edge cases, but they try to make 3-man squads. Yeah. And if you're alone, you'll get put in a squad with 2 other people, either loners or a team of 2. And if you have a team of 2, you'll get a random, unless like you're that one edge case where somebody leaves or the server gets full or something
that
like
that.
That
was me 4 times today.
Yeah, it's because nobody wants to be in your team, Ian.
I mean, fair.
So why is it so good and why is it so different, Carter?
Shit, I'm eating.
All right, I'll talk about it then. It is one of the unique things about it that feels like it would be a lot more of a lot bigger of a picture is that it's class-based. You have special abilities. So you're not just dropped in naked with nothing. You're dropped in and you actually have some non-gun ability.
Which actually helps your team whenever you actually use them, right, Carter?
Listen, don't worry about it.
Some of the abilities help your team, some are for you. One example is Wraith, who's got a very simple ability that turns her into a ghost for a little bit. She can't be shot. She does leave a little trail that you can follow, but you can use it to either engage or disengage. Another example is Pathfinder, who's got a little grappling hook. And these abilities have cooldowns like you'd expect from a mobile-style game, a MOBA-style game, not mobile. Sometimes on the order of 10 or 30 seconds, and those are accessed by Q. Each class has their own regular ability. Each class also has an ultimate that takes usually a couple minutes to build. One example of this is Lifeline can drop in a care package, which is like a care package in the other shooting game. You can get a nice gun or get some armor from that care package. These aren't really game-breaking, and there's not, like, I don't really feel too much like each class super impacts my strategy on how I collect weapons or go about it, but they are nice bonuses, and there is some kind of like nice team planning you can do around the characters you're playing.
Yeah, like, I don't think that any of the characters are really overbalanced or anything like that, because I don't feel like any of the characters have this one ability that completely like sets back everybody else in the game. Because like The only one I can think of that would give you more of an advantage over every single situation would probably be Lifeline because of the care package. Because you get a chance of, hey, there's guaranteed to be at least purple or above loot in this care package.
Yeah, but then again, you call in a care package and people can come shoot you because they see it falling from the sky.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that sends up a big red flag.
True, and that's what I'm saying. But like all the other characters, I don't really think that anything that they have is... I don't think any of the characters, like, say, Overwatch, where there are characters that are definitely, oh, we need this sort of composition of a, like, character lineup. Mm-hmm. I mean...
The characters basically give you really cool kind of quality of life or small improvements, mm-hmm. but it's still very focused on your positioning, finding engagements, taking the right ones, and your ability to shoot other people. It is unlike Overwatch in that, like, some people can't even shoot guns, like Reinhardt.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that it's important that they've done that and that they maintain that, because unlike a game like Overwatch, you know, if you are outmatched in a MOBA or in Overwatch, you can go switch. You can't do that in MOBAs, but I think that, you know, in MOBAs, building that structured team comp is its own sort of genre, like, or own sort of thing. But what I think is important in Apex is that if you run into a certain team composition, you know, a certain squad that has a certain team composition, there is no way that they're just by default going to outmatch you.
Yeah.
Like it just, that's just not how it's built.
A lot of that comes down to the only thing that's different is the abilities. Everybody runs the same. Everybody can pick up the same weapons, carry the same amount of stuff, finds the same guns in the same spots.
Well, and I think that's the thing is like the fact that there are different tiers of attachments for your weapons. I think that's where you get a lot more of your variability in whether, oh, hey, we have the exact same team composition, but they've got like purple and gold accessories on their guns and we have nothing, like no extra items. Like that's where you get your differences in like not ability but like game based attributes.
And people are just better at clicking heads.
For
sure.
I suck at aiming.
Me too. One other thing that I think is interesting that you can do in Apex that you can't do in other games that is a result of this class system is like you can have ability synergies. For example, one of the heroes that I play a lot, or one of the characters I play a lot, is Bangalore, and she has I don't even know what it's called. It's just like a smoke screen. Yeah, it's just a smoke screen. She throws out a smoke grenade, and it makes it very hard for literally everyone to see.
There's another herself,
including your own team and herself. There's another character whose name is Bloodhound. And he has an ultimate, which makes him see his enemies.
Well, he also has his Q that you can pull up and like it flashes their location at that time.
Exactly. And so his whole thing is that he allows himself and his team to be able to see where the enemy is even through smoke. And so these skill synergies start to appear. And I'm very excited as the game grows more and more to see how those skill synergies mm-hmm. develop with other new characters.
Well, I mean, even then with Bangalore, you have, you know, items in the game, like any of the gold scopes give you that threat display. So no matter what the situation is, if it's, you know, smoke or anything like that, you can see enemies outlined in red. So you have another thing right there that the game does that if you have that accessory, you're good. If not, then like it's a lot harder for you with that ability.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up a point that we almost touched on in a lot of places, but I think Apex emphasizes a little more just in how engagements kind of tend to turn out or how I feel when I'm playing it. And it's that you are rewarded for taking certain engagements in the games. Like, obviously, if you want to be the last man standing or like near the top, it's better to not take the risk and engage people. Mm-hmm. But taking an engagement and winning means you get to take the other team's items when you kill them, which usually means you can start aggregating the higher and higher tier of items. Apex is a pretty easy tier system. There are some guns, some of them are relatively well balanced, but you can put on attachments that make them have less recoil, maybe shoot faster, and there's also tiers of armor. And armor is very important in Apex because no armor versus the highest level of armor is literally double the amount of health. So as you start taking engagements, you get to pile up, basically people are pre-aggregating the good loot for you that you don't have to go find yourself. Which means if all you did was sneak around the entire time and you've got, you know, level one to your stuff, it's very hard for you to take on a squad that's killed literally everybody else and has the literal best items that anybody has found.
That's interesting. Why do you think that Apex does that better than like PUBG does?
I feel like Apex, the engagements tend to last longer because armor is very strong and a lot of the guns, like, I don't know if there is a one-shot kill gun. Maybe
the
loot box drops gold sniper rifle if you get a headshot. Yeah,
the Kraber with a headshot will kill you instantly.
That's
and
a
I
guaranteed
think,
one hit.
I think the Mastiff might also. Or at least it downs them.
Regardless, it's very hard.
Even a shotgun blast to the chest takes two, maybe three, depending on how good your aim is. Which means, like, in PUBG, if you get the drop on somebody, even with, like, terrible guns, you can drop them before they turn around. In Apex, it's much harder to do for a kind of a variety of reasons. One, some of the abilities mean you can get away or detect people coming.
Unless you're going up against me, at which point you're almost guaranteed to drop me instantly.
Yes, but the engagements have a slightly different dynamic, and it feels like having better armor and having these higher tier attachments give you an edge, at least that if somebody gets the drop on you, you have a chance to get out and kill them.
One other thing I think Apex does that sort of provides, I don't know, this different dynamic is that it is so easy to heal up. In PUBG, you're able to wear body armor, and that body armor, once it's done, it's done. You can't heal it. But in Apex Legends, you can pick up body armor, and if it takes damage, you can heal it with certain items in the game. And those items are very, very frequently found. And so I think what that does is that encourages close range engagements, because if you're taking a sniper battle and they hit you in the chest, you're like, okay, let me chill for a second. You heal up and then you're like, okay, let's do this again. And it's the worst war of attrition imaginable. Whereas if you take a close range battle, you just if they try to heal, you're like, thanks, I'm still here. And you kill them.
Yeah. And especially, like, I want to go back to the damage stuff. Like, there's, aside from the gold sniper rifle, which is maybe one or two per map, like in PUBG, you can feasibly just like take a long range shot, get one or two quick taps on them, and they're dead. Even if, like, if they're, especially if they're running away. In Apex, you got to hit at least three shots to kill someone.
Yeah.
Even with like a stacked sniper rifle. Unless you could probably kill somebody with two headshots with a longbow or a triple take or something.
But yeah, I think the engagements just overall are much more enjoyable in Apex. But one thing I don't like about Apex, if you guys are fine sort of drifting away from this, the way that the engagements are structured, is that Apex is just not a fun place to hang out in. You know, like,
we were talking earlier. Fight.
Yeah, Apex is all fight, all trying to figure out when your next engagement's going to be, how you can get to it, how you can get there safely, which is awesome. And I really love it when I want to do it. But if I just want to straight chill, Apex is not a fun place to do it in. I could just fuck around in PUBG or, you know, Fortnite is the same way, and you don't have to worry about it. That's what I'm missing a little bit, and I think that's part of the charm of Battle Royale games that is kind of missing in Apex Legends. Not that that's a bad thing.
I mean, I will say that Apex Legends, it definitely strikes me as a lot more, like, it might be a Battle Royale style, but I feel like they pulled a lot of the gameplay, like the type of game that they wanted to be, from the Titanfall games, where it is a first-person shooter. You go in and it's guns blazing sort of deal, that it is just intensely competitive. You don't have those times where you're just like hanging out just to see what happens. And that's, I feel like that's a large part in most like first-person shooter games, that you have that. But with Apex, it's very much just the same idea. It's the same vein of thinking, I think.
It's tuned such that, like, the rounds where the circle's closing in and you're pushing you, like, the circle doesn't move so fast that you're always running. The map is the right size, the number of players the right size, the distribution of loot. Basically, it's been tuned. It feels like somebody spent a lot of time figuring out those exact numbers of distance, where things move, how long, how many players, that, like, you'll take a fight every couple of minutes, or you're intentionally running away from any gunshot you see. Mm-hmm, so it's not like you're always on edge and always fighting. But there's not like there's definitely nobody behind me moment in that game.
Yeah. And if there is, you know that there's somebody, or if that's true, you know there's somebody in front of you. You know, I find it interesting because, you know, moving from PUBG to Blackout to Apex, it feels very iterative to me, you know, that they've sort of narrowed down how this is sort of supposed to work. Whereas PUBG, you know, was very, you know, as realistic as you could imagine something like this would be, I guess. You know, very wide open, enough space for everybody to exist comfortably. And then Call of Duty Blackout, very much so like Apex, reduced the playing space and got a lot of things closer to being the, you know, the quote unquote, the most enjoyable. And then Apex took that and then was just like, all right, let's add some fucking spice to it.
Yeah, there's so much quality of life improvement from PUBG, PUBG feels like sometimes it's just frustratingly realistic. Like, it depends. Like, getting cover on top of a mountain is super useful because you can go prone, hide in a bush, and you really can't see because their graphics aren't that good. Apex removes some of those elements. Like, it's pretty easy to tell where people are and when they're moving. You get hit markers when you shoot people, so you don't know, like, oh, I'm pretty sure I just headshot that guy, but he's still up, you know?
I mean, yeah, with Apex, you get it to where it's like you get the hit markers that also tell you the different types of armor. Like, if you shoot somebody, it'll let you know, oh, blue armor or purple armor or gold armor if they have that. Like, that's a huge thing. I don't know of any other game that really has something like that.
But I'm sure, like, in some other shooter games, you know, Battle Royale is not like that.
And I think a big part of that is that Respawn Studios, you know, they didn't take Titanfall 3 and give it a Battle Royale mode, which is what Blackout was. You know, Call of Duty just with a Battle Royale mode, which, again, was fine. But it was Call of Duty with the Battle Royale mode.
Yeah.
You know, this was all of their attention and effort went into making this one thing. They stopped working on Titanfall 3 so that they would make Apex.
They better make it at some point.
Yeah,
though.
You know, you fucking fight EA on that one.
I will tear EA down.
But, you know, I think that's what really made the difference. One of the things that people have been praising Apex for, myself included, is it's just absolutely bonkers ping system.
Oh my god,
it's so powerful.
I've tried to use the ping system in so many other games. It's such a huge part for me playing Apex that, like, I feel like it should be in every game. The amount of times in Overwatch that I've tried to ping things, and it's just like,
and for those listeners who are thinking network latency, this is not that. This is a way you can highlight different items or locations. You can put a little dot just by, like, middle mouse clicking on, say, a house in the distance. You can say, let's go there, or you can press a different button. Mine is bound to F to say, I think there's an enemy there, or there's definitely an enemy there.
You can also pull up your map and, like,
you can ping the map. You can ping items, like, here's some blue armor which you might want because I see you have none, or you know, here's a Mozambique, one of the best guns in the game.
I think what is, like, part of what makes it so powerful is how contextual it is. You know, it's just this one button that you click, and it assumes that it knows what you're trying to say about that. If you see an open door and you ping the open door, your character says, hey, this door is open. There might be people here.
Or hey, supply box. Hey, open supply crate. Somebody was here.
Exactly. And if you if you ping an item, one of your teammates, you know, if they see that ping on their screen and they ping that, they're saying, hey, I want that item that you just said exists. It's very contextual.
It's not even that. That's like a, you know, an understood pattern. It's literally like if you ping something that somebody just pinged, it says, your character in game says, I want that.
Yeah.
And it stays on their radar so they can find it even, like, after the, you know.
Because the pings fade away. Expires. Like, if you're pinging an item, they fade out after a certain amount of time. But, like, it's, I don't know, I like it as a system. And I definitely think it's something that a lot of other games are probably going to pick up because it is a huge part. I definitely think it adds a huge quality of life, like, trait to this game.
You know, I think they got it.
Where?
I'm pretty sure they got it from Breath of the Wild because it had when I first bought Breath of the Wild, I thought it was one of the best parts of it because there's a very similar system except for you're not communicating with your teammates where you look down the little scope that you've got, your little binoculars, and you hit a button and whatever you're looking at lights up on your map and lights up on your UI so you can see where it is. And it felt very, very similar, at least in the construction of it.
That'd be interesting,
I want to talk about, like, all these quality of life improvements feel like they're removing a lot of the unnecessary technical barrier to just, like, having a good time and playing the game well. And I want to compare that to Smash.
All right.
To Super Smash Brothers. So Melee has a lot of techniques that people have discovered or realized over the years. Things like wave dashing, where you can jump and air dodge into the ground and slide around. And, you know, all these, like, technical maneuvers that are barrier to entry, but they do provide something about the game, like more depth. They provide more moves you can do that make the game more interesting. And PUBG has some of these kind of elements. Like, you don't have ping systems, you have a compass, and that's kind of it. You can say, hey, there's an enemy southwest or at 259 degrees on your compass. And the other person has to, you know, scan left to right and then say, oh, they're on top of that mountain, and then find them. Or, you know, you can maybe see blood coming out when you shoot somebody from far away with your rifle. Apex removes those things just like the newer Smash games have removed kind of some of these more complicated mechanics in favor of breaking it down to the core of the game. Can you aim at the person? Can you see them from far away? You don't really have to, you know, do this convoluted process of trying to get your team on the same page. You just ping, they see it immediately, they get an audio notification, it's over. You don't need to guess whether or not you hit them, it just tells you. That's not really a... Basically, if you had put enough hours into the game, those things become second nature, and there's no benefit to having this complicated process to doing them, but you're just basically making it harder for new people to come to that level.
Yeah, it's like much that. More accessible for people to just pick it up and run with it, which I think gives it much more life.
They're not moving the core, you know, skill components. It's still, you got to be good at positioning. You still got to shoot people. You're just making it less of a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, one of the things that I've found very, I don't know, I've enjoyed it. It doesn't affect me personally, but there are some people, you know, in the world who prefer not to use a microphone or can't use a microphone at all. And so this ping system allows them to play a game to a level that they like, you know, they can't play PUBG or Fortnite.
Well, yeah, okay. You can't just Fortnite's type in PUBG, things. Enemy on hill at 259 degrees running towards us, because then you're dead.
Yeah, exactly.
And like the ping system, we might not, or might be harping too much on it, but it has multiple options. Like if you hold down the button, you can say like enemy here, or like I'm headed this way, or oh, I will defend this.
If you
I'm
tap headed this once, way. It's just like we should go here, and it gives a marker to everybody. If you tap it twice, you get a marker that's different. And your character calls out enemy spotted in this area. And like if there's an enemy on your screen within a certain amount around like the center of it, it actually puts that ping right above their head for a second. But yeah, like it's awesome.
It's fast nonverbal communication, which is critical for some people who, like you said, are uncomfortable using a mic or literally just don't have one.
Yeah. One other thing I think that the ping system provides is like it allows those things that Scott was talking about where, you know, you have to put effort into determining, okay, where's that person on my compass? Okay, where are they, you know, up and down? It leaves that that decision-making that you have to do and that time to do other things. And so for me personally, I think that any good, you know, like team-based game has like a language around it that is very interesting and is very informative. You know, like in Overwatch, we have a communication system that, you know, if you're not talking, you're not doing your job. You know, at least that's how I feel in games. You know, that can lead to some problems, but it leaves you open in Apex to say more things that are more valuable. So like, if you're in an engagement, I've watched a couple of high level players, you know, they're taking shots. They're not just saying, oh, I hit this person. They're saying how much they hit the person for and what level of armor they have so that everybody can estimate how much health they have left. It's very interesting.
Yeah, like, you don't have to say, like, if you're in PUBG, you have to say, like, you know, running downhill on south, I'm taking shots. You can just say, like, ping, blue armor, no armor left, or something like that.
Yeah.
It compresses it down into, like, they give you this, like, high bandwidth communication that you don't have to use your voice for. You don't have to take up audio space.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
very new speak.
Yeah, and I love it. I'm a huge fan of it. I really, one of the things that I want to, like, hear somebody or see somebody do is just take the comms of, you know, any average video game, whether it be Overwatch, Apex, whatever, and just like look at it, do some linguistic analysis on it. Cause like I know listening to us play Overwatch, my girlfriend's like, are you fucking with me? What the hell are y'all trying to say?
You're saying words.
Yeah,
I
like
think.
If you listen to pro Overwatch players, like in Overwatch League, their chat in the middle of a fight is like, monkey, 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 break, 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 break. Oh,
it's just lots of screaming.
I want a, you know, computer program or a feature in the Spectator UI to just show like what a person is shooting at and see if it lines up with the comms. Like the person yelling monkey, are they looking at monkey? Are they turning their back from monkey? Are they being shot by monkey?
Yeah.
Like I want to see what that actually lines up with. And if you could just like, if you could put that on my HUD, like, you know, your person, your Zenyatta without a microphone is currently being attacked by a Winston in some compact form, you know.
I would love to see like one of those word clouds. You know how like some places have like Facebook did the word clouds, like your most commonly used words in the year 2015 or something like that. Just like every competitive match, just have like every character have their own word cloud. What was the thing you said the most? Like what was
hot drop and I'm dead.
So yeah, I think we've covered Apex thoroughly. I mean, if it's not clear, Apex is pretty much the reason why we wanted to do this, or at least inspired it to sort of be.
We thought about doing it for PUBG, but we would have been embarrassed to say we played PUBG at the time. So
yeah,
here we are.
I do want to talk about one more battle royale game, that.
Oh my god.
I'm so excited that it exists.
I wish it was called, more of a thing.
It's called Tetris 99. It is Tetris Battle Royale. Tetris has had like battle versions over the years where like you go head to head against somebody and you can affect how their screen maps up or whatever. But this one is just 99 people. You play Tetris until everybody but one person loses. And I fucking love it because it leads to phrases like aggressive Tetris. And like conceptually, I'm just like, this person, oh, they're playing a very defensive Tetris right now. Oh, they're going in. They're playing offensively. They're offensive Tetrising. I just like it. It's great.
It's an amazing concept because like almost all battle royale games that are like popular in any sort of sense are always like shooting games. They're always like action-based games like that. And I think like having a Tetris game that's a puzzle, it's a like strategy game in the sense of you're trying to line up blocks. It's a puzzle game. And you're doing a battle royale with that, like holy shit. Like I'd love to see more games that just take on this idea.
Yeah, just like an Ogre royale. Tetris 99 has layers. Like that's just what it is. Anyways, I'm done with my bullshit.
Oh, thank God.
So yeah, I'm uninstalling Audacity because that's the only thing I can do is bullshit. Let's move on. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to say about Battle Royale games overall? I
mean, we interleaved a lot of like, why are Battle Royale games fun? Why are they popular? Do you want to open the question? Why do you play Battle Royale games? Is there anything we didn't mention yet? Question for the audience and also a question for you guys.
Well, let me take this one first. One of the things I love about Battle Royale games is they have this gameplay loop that is very, like, very let's play one more, you know? So when you lose a Battle Royale game or when you win, it is almost guaranteed that it's going to be in some sort of engagement, right? You don't just like, oh, everyone's dead.
Unless you get fucked over and you're, like, outside of the zone and that's how you die, which, like...
There are edge cases.
If that happens, you kind of had that coming. Like, you know that's
more so
happen.
In Apex than PUBG, but yeah.
Yes, but that's sort of the thing about it is that when you're done with a match, your adrenaline's high, you just got through, you know, maybe that wasn't a good round, or maybe...
Oh, they only got the drop on me, and that's why they won. I can do better this next time.
And so you're like, I got to do another one. You know, your adrenaline's pumping, you got to go. And so that's just like, I don't know. I like that a lot. I think it's a really important part to why Battle Royale games have succeeded.
I mean, it's a huge addictive part of it, too, because you're like, I got to keep this going.
Yeah, yeah, and an important part of Battle Royale games that makes them, I don't want to say not stressful, but there's like less of a tilting factor because you don't get second chances. Like, if you're playing a team-based version like PUBG or Apex, you can be revived by your teammates, but if one squad comes in and annihilates you, that's it. Unlike if you're playing a MOBA or even like Call of Duty on a server where you've got 10-minute matches, or if you're playing Overwatch, if you're playing against a good team, you get trashed for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes at a time.
And nobody likes that.
It just feels bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're playing PUBG, if there's somebody really good or somebody who you're like, oh, they're definitely aimbotting, like they kill you and you're done.
And the chances that you're going to meet up with them again are normally not that good, at least in Apex, I know. Like
most of the time they're still in a game by the time you find a new one. The matchmaking is not like strict, like, oh, you're a diamond in Overwatch, we need to match you with other diamonds. It's kind of just like throw a bunch of people in.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the awesome things about Battle Royale games is that because there's, you know, 60 to 100 people in the map, they can just be like, okay, you're roughly as good as these people. Throw you all in together, and because of that like looseness, you're not actually really waiting that long for 60 people to join into a match with you. It doesn't take
I think
long.
Every time that I've gone to join a match, it's always like up in the upwards of like 50 to 55 is the lowest number that I've seen start whenever I look for a match. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't take that long to populate your matches
as opposed to PUBG, dead game.
Well, they also had just like a mandatory 60 seconds there, which is annoying.
But yeah, you guys got anything else? Any other fun reasons why you guys play Battle Royale?
There's plenty of reasons, but let's cut this episode, get some people time back in their day.
I gotta go pick people up and put them down.
I gotta go play Apex.
I just got done doing that. One more thing before we go that I think is important to touch on is just that, like, because it's such a large server and because it's not like you have a 50-50 chance of winning, success is subjective. You know, success in this game can be I get like a really good three kills and then somebody, you know, gets the drop on me and kills me. Like, whatever, you had a good time. That is success for some people. Or maybe success is just like I snuck around, didn't get any kills, but then I got the last guy, so I won. Maybe
that's success. And I lasted longer than I did previously. Like, there's a time I dropped and had no guns and ended up like knocking down three people just by punching them. Like, that was fun. I didn't
success
win.
Success can be today I'm going to do a sniper round and only use snipers, and like maybe you get a kill or two and that's good for you. And bringing back the old point, that doesn't affect pretty much anybody else on the server, so it's fine. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're throwing.
Way to wrap it back around, Scott. Okay, take
Guys,
us out. I think we're done.
What we need to all do right. is we need to run through and all three of us play, but only like punch people.
Oh, slappers only.
Yeah.
Slappers only, yes.
Boxing match. That's it. Just only boxing.
All right. Thanks for joining us today and listening to us ramble about some fun games we've played, all in the Battle Royale category. If you're really interested in playing any of these games, we recommend Apex. Fortnite's also kind of fun. You won't find us there.
Both of which are free to play.
Both of which are free to play. Don't spend money on PUBG unless you like blowing up motorcycles.
What if we have people like join and like we play games with people at some point?
Yeah, if you wanna play some games with us, hit us up. Send us an email, brought to the table@gmail.com, tweet at us @tothetablepod, or post on our Facebook page. Which
I'm shit at most of these games, and these two still play with me, so like you're fine no matter what the level is.
And if you're good, please carry us. Because
we have to carry, guys. I've been looking for one, and he just ain't found one. I just ain't found one.
All right. Thanks for listening to us today. Hawaiian Pizza Calzones.
Bye.
Hawaiian Calzone. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, recording as well. We're actually doing this?
Oh, fuck.
I'm recording now.
What are we recording about?
Oh, fuck. My baby rattle. We're recording about my baby rattle.
All right, let me turn down my sound a little bit.
Let me just, like, leave then.
I'm going to turn it up so you can hear my baby rattle. This is a cardboard box that I'm going to put a bottle cap in.
Put a cap in it.
That's my baby rattle.